verse 25. And it reads, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad.
What a beautiful passage, wasn't that? So fitting. So glad that you're here. And if you're visiting with us, we're happy that you're here. And of course, our members that are here on a continual basis, we're just so blessed to have you here and to worship in spirit and truth this evening. As you know, we have been involved in a series of lessons, the three E's, if you would. Again, last week we looked at evangelism, and this morning and tonight we are going to be looking at that very so critical and important topic, subject of encouragement. We all need, certainly, to be encouraged from time to time. And we saw this morning that it matters not who you are. We need encouraged. And it stands to reason that since we all need encouragement, I would submit to you, brethren, that we all need to be encouragers as well. Let me float this presumption in front of you. Since we all need to be encouragement, it just stands to reason we should be encouragers, does it not? Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, Solomon says there, says, he who has friends must show himself to be friendly. And I guess we could also flip that a little bit and certainly go on and say, he who finds encouragement must be an encourager. And if you look at this actually in a couple of ways, this is true. First, if you want others to encourage you, be an encourager yourself. Another way of looking at this is, and I can assure you of this, if you want to find encouragement, go encourage someone else. You will be encouraged. I believe that with all my heart. Let's talk a little bit tonight about this subject of how to encourage. Now, I got to tell you, I'm not responsible for the beautiful slides that you see up here on the board, on the screen. Jeff Walton is. Jeff does a wonderful job. I wasn't aware that Jeff had already created and put together several slides, beautiful slides for this lesson this evening. And I hit panic mode. And I was back in the office about 15 minutes before service, and I'm trying to slap a background collar and a filler and do some things with it. And Jeff comes in and says, oh, no, I've worked about 3 hours on this lesson, and you're using my pictures. So, you know, I'll give Jeff the credit for it. I guess if we were in the cooking business, I would be responsible for giving you the meat, and he gives you the seasoning on the meat. So, but anyway, Jeff does a wonderful job, and I'm just so proud and glad that he does this. But let's talk about this subject tonight of how to encourage. First of all, with regards to encouragement, folks, I can certainly say this. It should be done by everyone. It really should. It's not a one-man or a one-woman band or show. It is something that should be done by everyone. It's not a one-way street. We all need to be involved in encouraging others. I can't do it myself, and I certainly don't think just a few people in this congregation can carry that load of being the encouragers. It's something that I think that God intended for each and every one of us to do, to be involved in. When folks are discouraged, you know, there are various reasons for that. We talked about that this morning. I think that there are signs to look for with regards to folks being discouraged. For example, it may be difficult with some folks to determine whether they need encouragement versus others because of their personalities. Let's just say that an individual, they're just quiet. They're shy. Their personality is not as sociable. It is not as flamboyant as others. With some of those folks, it's hard to tell if they need encouragement. They're quiet. They're quiet. And again, that's not the case with someone who's sociable, who's outgoing. It's difficult sometimes to tell. I think I've got an idea with regards on how to present something that is 100%, that is 100% proof positive that it can help everyone, whether you know their personality or you don't. Let's just be encouragers all the time. Let's do that. But there are signs to look for, you know, and that's one of them, is whenever someone is, they clam up. They just clam up. They shut down. They're not talking. They're not having dialogue with folks. They're a half step behind. They seem to be in their own world. Now, maybe that's been you before. Something has got you depressed, discouraged in your life, and you're shutting down. Sometimes it's a behavioral change in someone's life. For example, a person may become easily agitated. Has that ever happened to you? You've asked somebody a question about something, and man, they snapped at you. I mean, they just absolutely handed your head back to you on a platter. And you're thinking, whoa, what did I do? What did I say? Something, what they're saying to you is something has changed in my life. And I'm upset. I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. My perfect little world isn't so perfect anymore. That's a sign. That's something that we can certainly look to. We've all experienced it. We've been on both ends probably of that before. They may exhibit signs of withdrawal from social events. Folks may stop attending church. They may stop attending church. A week goes by and they are not here, then another week and another week, and someone may ask the question, well, how many Sundays need to go by before we become proactive and we're involved in trying to encourage? One. That's my response. Just one. You see, a lot of water, folks, can go under the bridge from one Sunday to the next. Wouldn't you agree? A lot of things can happen in someone's world, in someone's life, that is heart-wrenching, that is detrimental, that is sensitive, that is destructive. You know, all of God's children are important. Every single one of them. Let me ask you this. Would you be, parents, concerned if your child didn't come home from school? Absolutely. You gather around the dinner table, and I don't know if families still do that or not, and my family does. At a certain time, we gather around the dinner table, and we have dinner. And when a chair is empty that is normally filled with a warm body, something's not quite right. Would you as a parent be concerned, where's Bobby? Where's Sue? Where's Johnny? We'd be concerned, wouldn't we? Whether we are members of this body, and we as members of this body ought to be just as concerned when someone is missing from this gathering. The bottom line is this, if you're looking for signs, you're looking for something out of character. That spark is gone. The giddy up has gotten up and gone. Now, this is not to say this is an absolute true for everybody. I know of some folks that are very good at disguising their depression or their discouragement. You'd never know. You'd never know they're depressed. You'd never know that they're discouraged. Again, how do we treat such an individual? the response to that is this: be an encourager all the time. That way there's no room for doubt. There's no room for doubt. Certainly reasons for discouragement is things we talked about this morning. The loss of a job. That seems to be contagious these days, isn't it? The loss of a job. Loss of employment. That can discourage you. I remember as a small child when my dad had lost his job. My mom and dad both worked. And I recall very clearly and very vividly, I was probably about 7 years old at that time, but I remember my mom and dad discussing the plant had moved down south to the Carolinas. And dialogue going back and forth between my mom and dad about what are we going to do? It's going to be nearly impossible to just make it on my mom's income. Do we pack things up and move down south and my dad can at least keep his job and mom can find something down there? What are we going to do? You see, things like that, they come along. Your perfect little world isn't perfect anymore. It's out of kilter. Poor health can zap the joy right out of a person. I was talking to somebody the other day about an individual that has been sick, and that person said, you know, she has been sick her entire life. I don't think the woman has known a day without pain. Folks, one of the saddest indictments or charges certainly that others can make or bring against us is this: nobody cares about me. Nobody cares about me, even though that's not really true, but that's what a person feels when they feel as if they're not on the radar screen. They've kind of fallen through the cracks, so to speak. And that adds insult to injury. No one in this church should ever feel unloved, ever. Other reasons why a person could certainly feel discouraged is because of their financial burdens or stress. When people are not, they're just not as financially as secure today as what they were 10 or 15 years ago. In the past 3 or 4 years, you think about it, these words, bankruptcy and foreclosure, you hear them all the time, don't you? All the time. It's like a meat processing plant whenever folks today, they're going through bankruptcy. It's just one individual right after another. And we can sit and say, well, people are living outside of their means. And that may be the case with some folks, but I don't believe that's the case with everybody. I certainly don't believe that's the case within everybody, because we all have bills, we have house payments, we have car payments, but you don't have a job and you don't have a way to pay for those things anymore. You weren't living outside of your means, unless it was extreme. You're just trying to make a living to get by day to day. I know this congregation has been adversely affected as well as the rest of America. And folks, we need to be cognizant and concerned for our friends and our family who have been smitten by this bug. And sometimes the downtrodden character and that parable of the Good Samaritan, that downtrodden character is right in our very own midst. He or she are with us. And these are just a few culprits that brings about depression within someone's life. Let's talk about how to encourage. And let me preface this portion of our lesson by saying this. To encourage, to be an encourager, is the simplest thing you will ever do.
Oh, really? How's that?
I can say that because everybody can give somebody a smile. Now, I realize with some people they act like it, their face will crack if they smile, but it won't. I promise you, it'll still be there after you smile. What happens, let me ask you this, and 99.9% of the time when you smile at somebody, what do they do whenever you smile at them? They smile right back. I recall one time being in this nursing home and an elderly woman was rolling her wheelchair down the hall. I was going one way and she was going another and she blocked me. She just rolled right in front of me and blocked me. I thought, okay. So I took a step to the left and she rolled back. And she's looking up at me. I said, oh, we got a fun game going on here now. And I went back to the right and she came across. And I just stopped and I put my hands on my hips and I said, you're going to give me a hard day time today, aren't you? I didn't know who she was. And she just looked up at me and smiled and I smiled right back at her. I have never forgotten that. And she just let me walk right on by. I have never forgotten that moment in my life. I don't know who she was. But we were just having a fun game of cat and mouse right there in the nursing home. That's why I say, folks, the easiest thing that you can do is encourage someone else. You know, in the past, we've had various programs. We've tried to address this need to encourage others. We've been involved in this process before. Some programs, some efforts, they failed. Not because that folks were poor encouragers, not because that it wasn't important. It just fell through. It fell through. Momentum died out, and therefore the program died out. I think that instead of us examining all the reasons why or what are the reasons for a program not succeeding, stalling out, I think we can all come to this agreement on this one point. One thing that will kill any program, whether it's a visitation program or care group or anything, is a lack of involvement. A lack of involvement. Fairborn is known for many wonderful things. One of the greatest and grandest things I think as a community we're known for is our Independence Day parade. I want you to imagine you take your rusty, dusty chair and you and 1,000 other folks, you go down to Central Avenue on parade day. And you set that chair down along Central Avenue and you sit there and you wait along with everybody else, but guess what? There are no floats. There are no bands. There's no ball players. There's no pageants, queens. There's no politicians. It's just you and your chair and 1,000 other people just looking at one another, shrugging your shoulders, saying, where's the parade? You see, without those things I just mentioned, it's a bust. And folks, I'm sure of this. A visitation program without folks visiting will be a bust. It will kill it. It will absolutely kill it. Why am I throwing this out at you? Because I know at the request of the elders and because of their love, their passion, their zeal, their vision for this church, one of the things I know that is important to them is encouragement. encouragement, building one another up. And I know this Tuesday, as we begin a new program, a visitation program, that Matt Shuey will be directing this effort. And I know that Matt is very much qualified to lead this. Matt has an enormous love and passion for the truth, and he has a very clear vision of how this program can and will succeed. And we'll talk about some of those details in just a moment. But how to encourage? First of all, we can certainly encourage folks individually. Can you in and of and by yourself encourage folks? Absolutely. Can you encourage folks and offer them hope and inspire them by yourself? Absolutely. You sure can. As a matter of fact, you should. You should be doing that already. You don't need a visitation program to do the obvious. As a matter of fact, there will probably be folks who can't come to that gathering on that Tuesday night. Go and visit others. But you can still be involved, very much so, encouraging others from your own home, whether it's phone calls or cards or whatever. And it's not like the visitation program police are going to show up at your house and drag you to the gathering. We're not into that. But have you ever heard that expression? There's strength in numbers. And such is true when it comes to a visitation program. Let's talk about how to encourage collectively. You know, Jesus didn't make just one apostle. He made 12 apostles. He originally called 12 men to be apostles. He didn't make just one disciple, but he made many disciples. When God created man, he did not create just one man. He created a man and a woman. Don't let anyone fool you. God is into numbers. God is into numbers. Do you recall when Jesus sent his disciples out to evangelize? In Mark chapter 6 and verse 7, how he sent them out? Mark chapter 6 and verse 7 tells us that Jesus sent them out two by two. There's a very good reason for that. There's a very good reason for that. There's great wisdom and value to that method. I know that there's been times when I've been involved in visits and I have a partner with me and we're both visiting a fellow Christian from the church, and we're there visiting, and this individual shared something that I don't quite have an answer for. Maybe I've not felt that pain that they felt or feeling, but maybe my partner has. And they say something at the right time that just shows that they care and they're concerned, and they know all about it. I couldn't have done that by myself. It's good for those that maybe are intimidated and feel insecure about going out and visiting with someone else. You don't have to go it alone. You can go with someone else. There's much benefit and an upside to going out and visiting others and encouraging others with someone else. Let's briefly just talk about our 2012 Circle Avenue Visitation Program. First of all, let's get some details about it. When and where? It will be every Tuesday from 7 p.m. to 8 here at the church building. Every Tuesday. When you get here, things will already be pre-planned and set in motion for your involvement. With regards to that, I'd like for you to do this. If this is something that you would like to be involved in, We'll talk about the various segments and phases of how this thing works, but let Matt know. Let Matt Shuey know. As he's putting together teams to do various things, he can make a mental note or write it down and have his game face on for Tuesday night when we're involved in this visitation program. But, folks, look at this. An hour. The key to success, again, is your involvement. If we don't get involved, it will fail, and it will fail miserably. It will fail miserably. I want to encourage you to come and be a part of this effort. You'll be encouraged. You know, Matt shared with me, he says, I guarantee you. Now, there's a lot of things in life, folks, it's hard to put a guarantee on. I'm putting Matt on the spot. He says, I guarantee it, if we get enough people to get involved in this program and they stay with it, we will see fruit from our labor. I guarantee it. You're probably sitting here saying, how in the world can he make such a bold prediction? I'll tell you how. You remember in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16? When the Apostle Paul said, when every member of the body, when every part does its part, what did Paul say? It brings about what? Growth. The scriptures don't lie, folks. When every part is doing their part, it brings about growth. This visitation program is very care group friendly, care group involved, designed. Now, next Sunday, Lord willing, when I speak on the subject of edification, I'm going to hammer hard the care groups and the intent and the purpose of our care groups. But for example, care group one, this up and coming Tuesday is your night. It would be good for you to know something. You need to know what care group you're in. That's always good to know. Now, I know the announcement was made this morning, and I've got one right here. An updated care group list right here in my hand. They are out on the table in the foyer. Pick one up before you leave, especially if you don't know what care group you're in. We would like to, and I know the eldership, they would like to certainly see our care groups involved in this. Now, you may say, Scott, if it's this Tuesday and care group one is the one that is being encouraged to come and do the calling and do the visiting and do the card sending, and I'm not in care group one, does that mean I can't come? Are you kidding me? You can come to any and all of them if you'd like. If you're in care group one, we'd love to see you on this Tuesday evening. Folks, I know we're busy people. I realize that. I know we've got a lot going on. There's a lot on our plate. And you may say, oh man, one more thing. Now one more thing has been thrown into the mix. You know, if we do this, and let's just say, you know, you came every other time that you were supposed to be here. That's like 8 times out of the year. Can we honestly stand before God, folks, on Judgment Day and say, I didn't have eight hours for you, Lord, throughout the year. I didn't have that to do this. That's going to be a tough sell, folks. That'd be a tough sell. There wasn't a man on this earth busier than Jesus Christ. Surely we can fit this into our schedules. How will it work? Again, with care groups. When you get here, you will have an assignment. You'll either be making up cards and responsible for sending those cards. Don't bring stamps. Everything's provided. Don't bring cards. Everything's provided. When you get here, when you come here, there will be a list of folks for you to call. You don't need to generate that list. It's already been generated for you. You don't know what to say? Let's sit down and talk about it. We'll make sure it's positive, it's loving, and it's truthful. With regards to visits, some of these folks live in Fairborn, others do not. Let's just say there's a hospital visit. Now, you may go over the 8 p.m. time slot, but listen, I know Matt's goal for this thing is not to camp out in their living room all night long and talk about whatever. Because you'll quickly turn into and go from one of those individuals folks love to see come to one of those individuals folks love to see go. You don't want to hang out there all night long. We'll go over that stuff later. What do I need to bring? Bring yourself, bring your sword. It's just a good habit to be into church, to always have your Bible with you. You know that? It's just a good habit to have. Finally, what if I want to come, but I just don't have a way there? Good question. Get with myself or Lloyd or Matt. We'll work it out. We'll figure it out. You want to come? We'll figure it out. You'll get here. You know what? I am absolutely, entirely tickled to death. I am thrilled that we are launching out into this effort of encouragement. I know and I believe in my heart that we will indeed see fruit from it. But a critical piece to this puzzle is you. I'm encouraging you to be an encourager. If you can come and be a part of this program, stick with it. Be proactive and be a participant. We'll see fruit, folks. We'll see fruit. We'll grow. And we'll get to know our church family better. There may have been some things that I have missed with regards to communicating it to you. I certainly don't have the time to anyway. And I know that Matt, following services this evening, will stay around up front. You want to know more about this care group or this visitation program? He's going to formally address any questions that you might have. So stay around after services. Give Matt an opportunity to explain his vision, his passion, his zeal for this program. I know you'll be blessed because of it and by it. God has a plan for this church, and I know God has a plan for you. First of all, if you're not a Christian, His plan involves you becoming one, giving your life to Christ. That plan involves you repenting of your sins and confessing Christ as your Lord and your Savior, being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of those sins. Maybe you've done that, friend. Maybe you've strayed away. And you need to return to the Lord. You need to return to your rightful place in the kingdom, the church. Maybe it's encouragement that you need. If you feel you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward. Together we stand and we sing.